Matthew 27, 57 through 66, we want to discuss with you from the title, have a discussion from the title, The Crucifixion That Created Another Problem. The Crucifixion That Created Another Problem. You will probably agree with me that most of the time when you crucify somebody, you don't have to worry about them getting up. Yeah, I wish somebody would agree with me with that. Usually, after you kill something, you shouldn't have to worry about them getting up. But this was an unusual crucifixion. Horrific, but unusual. So this crucifixion, this thing created a whole nother problem. Evil has power, but not the same power that God has. Because God is all powerful, evil is subject to the power of God. You need to know that if evil is jumping off in your life, that God has more power than the evil that you are in fact experiencing. Satan had to be granted permission from God to try to destroy Job's life. And even in that instance, God gave Satan limitations and parameters. One can read and identify throughout the scriptures who really has all power. But for me, one of the most important parts of the scripture is when the verse says that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is another way of God saying, my will be done. My word will be fulfilled and accomplished. My world will not return unto me void. But God has a will and plan for all of our lives. And whether we acknowledge it or not, many times adversity is part of the plan. I don't expect you to smile about that, but most of the time when God's trying to get us somewhere, sometimes there's a little trial, there's a little tribulation. There's something going on that makes us move toward God. Jesus had to die. But evil thought they had to kill him. They didn't realize they had to kill him to fulfill scripture. Because if they had realized that they were doing the will of God, I don't think evil would want to do the will of God. But the evil has no choice. If you don't believe me, ask Pharaoh. Jesus had to die. The crucifixion had to take place. Good Friday had to happen. There are some Good Fridays in your life that have to happen. In order to get up, you got to be down. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that in order to raise up, you got to be down. But it seems that sometimes the power granted to someone is sometimes to them power absolute. You ever give somebody some power to do something for you in your life? And they get carried away. You say, hold it. Especially our children. I told you to do so. I didn't tell you to go in my pocketbook and get all my money. See, sometimes you give folk power, and power goes to the head. That's a problem sometimes when you're in leadership. You think you got, you know, all power. You begin to forget that God gave you power. You begin to send folk here and send folk there just because you can send them. Oh, Lord. Let me move on. Somebody has some power, they're going to be like, leave me alone, man. I got my power. I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm on top now. In other words, those that literally and physically crucified Jesus thought they had the power within themselves. That's what the whole thing was about, the unfair trials and everything. We got to kill him. He's causing too much confusion, too much noise. Too many people are looking at him. He's messing with our power base. You know, if you really truly say there's something somewhere, something somewhere trying to block your power, trying to say, I got to get rid of her. I got to get rid of him.
They messing up my dark kingdom. They're bringing too much of that Jesus in the workplace and too much of that Jesus in the house. And every time we have a family function, here they come in looking like they saved and anointed. And I got to do something with them. I got to get rid of them. They're getting on my nerves. Every time I go to them, they say, well, let's pray about it. Oh, the word of God said so and so. They can't go to none of my parties and none of my this because they always in church. They want me to come hear them sing on the choir. When the last time you went to a cabaret with me? I know cabaret. So as vivid as I know, I'm just playing. Y'all give me a little gift card for English class, right? Yeah. They thought they had the power within themselves to do it. Seems it never dawned on them that they were fulfilling the word of God and the will of God. We'll see from scripture today that more than Jesus' followers were listening to certain things that he said. You know, down to the ears, you realize that even though folk might not believe in Christ, they know what he said. Anybody ever run into that? Sometimes you find folk that not even Christians might know more about the Bible. Sometimes. But see, that's what happens. They listen, because when we get to the scripture, they listen to what Jesus said. And if we look at Matthew 27, 57 through 66, let us consider the tomb, the concern about the tomb, and the empty tomb. Number one, the tomb. Number two, the concern about the tomb. And number three, the empty tomb. Look at Matthew 27, 57. When evening was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was Jesus' disciple. He was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. With Joseph, he had that thing hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. See, now what I understand is that those large stones were on somewhat like a track. So Joseph could roll the stone down to the mouth of the grave of the tomb. And it shut. And Joseph went about his business. Now, from what the scriptures tell me, Joseph took the body of Jesus and put it in the tomb. Rolled the stone to the door of the tomb, to the opening of the tomb, and went about his business. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were sitting over against the sepulcher, which means they were watching what Joseph was doing. Now, from the scriptures, I hope you agree with me. As far as I know, right now, Jesus is dead in the tomb. He's in the tomb. But listen to verse 62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together under Pontius Pilate, saying, look here, we got a concern about that tomb. We got a problem. They said, sir, we remember that deceiver, talking about Jesus, that imposter said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. If you look at Matthew 16:21 and Matthew 17:23 and Matthew 20:19, you're going to hear Jesus telling disciples, look, I got to go through this thing, but on the third day, I'll rise again. But now the chief priests and the Pharisees came to Pilate, we got a problem. But I'm thinking, if you don't believe nothing Jesus said, and he's crucified, dead, and buried in a tomb, what's the problem? Both my mother and father dead, they have yet. I wish I had a witness in here. Matter of fact, when they passed away, the homegoing said, in a moment, when Jesus comes back, that's when I see him again. And that gives me the hope that I need. But what is the concern? They tell him, Tyler, we need to work some overtime, at least for the next 3 days. We got to get some overtime. Because I remember what that deceiver said. If he's such a deceiver, why do you believe a deceiver? Why are you so concerned that he said in three, I told you, this is a crucifixion that caused some problems. Why are you so concerned about a dead man in a tomb with a stone rolled up to the mouth of the grave? Why do you all need overtime to watch a dead man? Dead man watch. Tomb watch. That sounds like one of the reality series, doesn't it? And they said after 3 days he rise again. And then they told Pilate, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure or secure until the third day. At least if we can just watch the tomb and guard it until the third day, then, you know, we'd be okay. I'm kind of upset because, you know, he said he's going to get up. I don't believe he's going to get up. But just in case his disciples come and steal his body and say he got up. You know. I ain't trying to say I believe him. I'm not on my way to salvation. I'm not trying to get in the church. I'm not trying to get saved. I'm just saying just in case. It's my job to make sure dead folks don't get up in Jerusalem. Especially around Golgotha. It's my job to make sure that they don't get up. Especially those that say they're going to get up and never to die again. Because there was another resurrection. But they had to die. See, even Lazarus had to roll out again. Lazarus had two funerals, y'all. He had to leave. But see, when Christ gets up, he's not going to die again. So they're very concerned. They said the disciples might come by night in 64 and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error or the last deception shall be worse than the first. And what they're saying is his disciples loved him so much that they want everything that Jesus said to be truthful. That they so deep and so bent on this church thing and on Jesus that if we don't guard the tomb, they're going to come and roll that stone back because you know it's enough of them. You know it's enough of them. There's about still 11 of them. There's about 11 of them. They can get that thing on track and roll that stone and take his body out of the tomb. And my question was, if they take him out of the tomb and he's dead, and they said he got up from the grave, what are they going to do? Run around town? Hold him up? If he ain't got no breath in him, what? He said on the third day he would rise again. He didn't say on the third day they'd be lifting me up, running around town. He rose. If he's dead, he ain't rose. So they messed up. So look what Pilate said unto them. You have a watch. As a matter of fact, when you study this, they had the temple guards they could use. And then they had a whole Roman guards they could use. So he said, I like what Pilate said. Because you know Pilate said he couldn't find any fault. Pilate said, you have a watch. You got soldiers. You got temple police. Go your way and make it as secure as you can. Pilate's trying to tell him something. Said, look, you know, I don't have that much money in the budget to waste on overtime. But if this is your main concern, I'll cut the money from the school district. Oh, excuse me. That was that. I'm sorry. Anybody work for the mayor, excuse me. I'm sorry. I know your hands are tied. I know. Just go your way and make it as sure as you can. You remember Pilate's wife had a dream and said, look here, Pilate, leave Jesus alone. And Pilate tried to get them to let him go. Said, no, give us Barabbas, crucify him. So the soldiers went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, they did it with wax, and they set a watch. Wow. Here they are. You know what? It's like when they have something big happening in the city. It'd be so many police officers down there that you think you might be able to get away with anything because you think all the police officers are down at that front. All the temple police, all the Roman guard was sitting around a tomb protecting or watching a dead man. Which gives me to know that as soon as Sunday morning came, Jesus wasn't even there. Every Bible I read said the only reason that the stone was rolled away was so that they could get in. Jesus had all power to raise up and walk through stuff and get through stuff. And the only reason that the angel rolled the stone away is so that Mary and all the other folks disciples could get in. Because he didn't have that kind of power to walk through anything. So when you get to chapter 28, look what happened to these soldiers. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. I didn't let somebody know that you think you're about ready to go crazy. God is just sending an earthquake in your life because he's about ready to roll the stones away that somebody else put up there and they set a watch over you and they sealed it because they did not want you to get up or out. There's a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on. That great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I said, that's deep. The stone that was covering the mouth of the tomb now became a recliner for the angel. He rolled that bad boy back and said, yeah. Move it now. That's deep, man. You know, I thought about that. I'm crazy like that. And his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the soldiers, the keepers did the Harlem shake. Oh, that's not in your Bible? I got a different version. I got the version where you can write stuff in. And for fear of them, the keepers did shake. I mean, they did shake. They do the shake. They did shake. And became as dead men. Wow. This crucifixion caused another kind of problem. And what they were trying to do, they were trying to stop the resurrection. But what they didn't understand, that without the resurrection, you and I don't have salvation. You and I don't have eternal life. We don't have a Lord. We don't have a Savior. We don't have hope. We don't have mercy. We don't have grace. We don't have love. We don't have anything without the resurrection. They did not understand that the crucifixion and the resurrection were a married pair. You can't have one without the other. I imagine he said, we should not touch them. We shouldn't have whipped them all night long. We should not have crucified them. If I had known that we're going to spend all this money in overtime to protect a tomb with a dead man in it, that an angel will come from heaven, roll the stone away, and we look in there. He not, see, the scripture doesn't say he walked right by them. Scripture doesn't say, you know, Jesus walked through them. He was already out. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. It's real deep because it seems like sometimes the folk outside of the church believe more what Jesus said than some of us in us. No. It just seemed like because they were so concerned about him getting up, about the disciples stealing his body, that at least they set a watch. And you read in the Gospels that some of Jesus' followers, especially disciples, then it finally dawned on them what he meant. And that's not a bad thing, because there's some things that Jesus spoke to you, and you don't understand them yet. But after a while, you're going to begin to understand what he spoke to you. Look at verse 6. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come to the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, please drop down to Matthew 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, some of the guards came to the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now, how are they going to show them everything when they was out of dead men? They were telling them, this is what happened. We were guarding the tomb. We were doing our job. One of our guards had just went to the bathroom. That's all. The rest of us stayed. We took turns going to the restroom. And while one of them were gone, there was a big shaking of the earth. I don't really know what happened after that because we were shaking and then we were out. But when we came to ourselves, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and there was no Jesus. So look what they told them to do in verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, and saying, tell the folk. See, this conversation caused a whole other problem. First, you're going to waste money guarding the tomb. Now you got to spend more money out of the city's budget, out of Jerusalem's budget, to pay the soldiers to tell them his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Wait a minute. Why would a dead man be sleeping? Why didn't they just say the disciples came by night and stole his body? There's something in that. And then they said in verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. That means if the governor get upset, we're going to pay the governor some money too. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This crucifixion caused some problems. And I tell folk, don't mess with Christians. Don't crucify Christians, because you're going to mess around and get in trouble. Because when you think you got them down and out, that's when they raise up. And that's how God planned this thing. And sometimes God will have somebody in your life who is assigned to give you a hard way to go, assigned to crucify you, assigned to make you feel like nothing, assigned to make you think you ain't never going to be nothing. But God said you just hold on, because your third day is coming. I don't know when your third day is, but whoever's trying to crucify you, hey, let them do what they got to do, because they can't kill you. What did God tell Satan? You can do what you can to Job, but his life. His life. Your life belongs to God. If you're saved, your life. And I know some of you have been through some rough stuff, but your life, the only reason why you're still walking, the only reason why you're still talking, the only reason why you're still breathing is because your life. Some of y'all cancer couldn't even get. Cancer had to back up. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But because Jesus got up, we can walk in victory. They didn't realize that the crucifixion and resurrection came together. You know, came in a package. You can't break the pack apart. They wanted to. Those that stay together. You can't have one without the other. And Paul said, if Christ did not raise up from the dead, we are men and women and boys and girls most miserable. Let's close out with 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 3. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. I'm so glad about that third day. My God. Crucifixion was part of Jesus' mission. What is your assignment? What does your assignment entail? See, if you're a Christian, don't try to pick out all the good parts. Because you got to go through whatever God needs you to go through so you can be whomever God is calling you to be. And don't worry about folks talking about you and laughing at you and saying things about you. Just say, please be patient with me. As a matter of fact, the only reason they're talking about you is because God's doing something in your life and they can see it. They can see the change. They can see the difference in your talk and the difference in your walk. They can see something different going on. See, don't let the talk fool you. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with this. They said the disciples stole his body. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. None of these scriptures say he saw him dead. They saw him. He was walking. As a matter of fact, when they went to meet him in Galilee, my man did like we did on Good Friday. He had a fish fry. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. When my wife and I went to Israel, we had some of their tilapia. They got tilapia in Israel. Come on. We had a fish fry with tilapia, baby. Yes. Look at verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, Then he was seen of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, say Paul, also one as a one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. We'll be finished shortly, children. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So we need to continue to understand. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Why were you guarding a tomb with a dead man in it? What happened? Why is the tomb so empty? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith also is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. We all phony up in here. If Christ didn't get up, we all phony. We all fools. We might as well lock up the church and go home and wait for eternal damnation to come. But I need to let somebody know my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. You need to understand today that the enemy is dangling stuff that appears to be gold. It's that stuff they sell on QVC. Ain't the real deal, baby. You ain't gonna get no diamond for $29.99 for three easy payments. I wish I had a witness. Come on. It might shine and it might look good, but it's not the real deal. But when you got Jesus, you got the real deal. So when real stuff jumps off in your life, you can say, okay, all right. You might think you got me, but on the third, let my third day, let my look. You got to get to a point in your life and say, Lord, let me get to my Good Friday. Because if I can get to my Good Friday, I know. I don't care how many guards you put on my life. You can't stop what God ordained. You can't stop what God ordained for my life. I don't care how bad you think you are. I don't care how much you talk about me. I don't care how much you talk against me. I don't care how much you abuse me or abuse me. It's all right, because I'm coming to my senses and my mind is being renewed right now. But God get ready to bless me. He get ready to take all that stuff you did to me. He get ready to take it down, so I can get up. And you got to understand this. You got to know this for yourself. Paul said, if Christ didn't get up, then we just sad. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of men or of children most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What he's basically saying, Christ rose from the dead never to die again. Which lets us know that we can get eternal life through Christ. When Christ raises, when he comes back, he raises up, we're not to die again. I wish I had a witness. See, that's what your faith, that's what your salvation is. That's why you come to church. That's why you love him. That's why you worship him. Because he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I said to myself, wait a minute. If Good Friday is good, then the resurrection must be the celebration. If Good Friday is good after all he went through, then the resurrection must be the celebration. I said, I can hear Jesus now. If he was from South Philadelphia like me, he'd say, hey, you killed me. You buried me, but I'm up. You need to tell the enemy that. They tried to mess you up. The enemy tried to mess your life up. You tried to kill me and you tried to bury me, but I'm up. Because Jesus is the center of my joy. Because he is my all in all. And you know, we sing a hymn 119. And this hymn is deep because it says, you know, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. That means he is in fact alive. And what I want you to do is listen to this song by Israel called Alive. As we begin to open the doors of God's house. And he starts by saying, make some noise. It's a celebration. He got up. Hallelujah. Early Easter Sunday morning.